the miracles of Jesus. And this is the last one. Then next Sunday, I'm not here, by the way. Joy will be taking my place. So I leave Tuesday to go to conference in Birmingham, Alabama. So Joy will take my place on that one. So come give her your support and your love and your encouragement. And go from there. An Irish boy had heard the stories of his father and his grandfather, even the father before that. On their 18th birthdays, they walked across the lake from their homestead to the village to get their first drink at the old pub on the other side of the lake. This is part of the legend that nothing would stand in the way of a man's family and his drink. So the boy waited until the hot summer day of his 18th birthday, and he figured that it was now his turn to continue that legend. He went out to the dock, stepped off into the water, and immediately sunk down. Walking back disappointed, soaking wet, he went to his grandmother's to tell her that he could not walk across the lake like his father and his grandfather and his father before that did. He said, "I've been a good Irish boy. I love my mother and my father. I pray like a good old boy should. Why am I as holy as my ancestors?" The grandmother slapped him and said, "You're not as smart as they are either." Joy was even more ashamed and a little angry. He asked, crying, "Why am I not as smart as my ancestors?" The grandma said, "Your father, your grandfather, and the father before that were born in January. This is August." There's a scene from the movie in Tombstone where, with Doc Holliday, and Wyatt Earp had just ran out to the middle of the river to take care of the ambush that was put on by Curly Bill and the gang. And so after he had done all the killing there and got, you know, Curly Bill done and everything, now Wyatt Earp sitting on the side of the river and contemplating something, and someone says to Doc Holliday, "Where's Wyatt?" And he goes, "Down by the river, walking on water." That's what I want to talk about today. The miracle of Jesus walking on the water. It's like we've heard about the walking on water thing for some time, but I think sometimes we don't catch the full significance of the story. So I want to talk today for a few moments on what it means for Jesus to have done that. I also want to address one of the aspects of the story that we sometimes miss, because a lot of times we read that story looking at the basic, ultra-simple aspect, Jesus walking on the water. But I don't think that's a surprise when you look at the Gospels. When you realize that Jesus was God in flesh, all the miracles he had done, it's not a big surprise that he could walk on water. It doesn't like, surprise, he did that. But I think there's something more to the story. It's recorded out of three of the four Gospels, but the only one that talks about Peter's interaction with Jesus is found in Matthew. So that's what I spent some time on in that book. The other two Gospels, the other authors didn't feel that was significant. For whatever reason, they don't have that in their account. But I want to spend some time because I think it's interesting, this relationship between Jesus and Peter, and I really want to focus on it because I think there's a lot of parallels between the relationship they had and Jesus with us, where we live today, every day. So Matthew 14, verses 22, says this: "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd." Now, what you need to understand before we go a little, that this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. They had just witnessed this incredible miracle that Jesus took a few loaves and some fish and multiplied it and fed 5,000 plus people. This is what they just saw. Then Jesus said, "Go into the boat, go to the other side." This is where they find themselves right after this extraordinary event took place in their life. So they got in the boat. And verses 23 through 27 says this: "After he had dismissed them, He went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Verse 26. When the disciples saw him walk at the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Let me just pause here just for a moment. Because what I have learned reading the scriptures, that whenever you read those words, "don't be afraid," it's too late. I'm afraid. Think about it. Jesus, all the disciples in the room after his resurrection, they're in the doors all locked, and out through the walls, the door, whatever, Jesus steps and says, "Don't be afraid." Bad, late already. Mary gets this angel coming, not expecting anything, all of a sudden, poof, "Don't be afraid." You know, it's just stories like that. The Israelites have the army behind them, the river before them, and they hear the words, "Don't be afraid." So oftentimes in Scripture, it's already too late, they're already afraid. But let me read on. Matthew 14, 28. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." He continues, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And I love the next verse, verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and taught him, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" I love that verse because it reminds us that God is always there. When you just get off a little focus, he's still there. When something just doesn't take place, he's still there. He's always there. And then verse 32 says this. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. So let me just share a few points that I think we can glean from this text so far. And first, Jesus leaves the crowd and goes to be God alone. Jesus leaves the crowd, goes to talk to his Father alone. Church, there are times, more often than not, that we need to just leave life behind and go spend time with our Father alone, in our prayer closet, in our garden, or it might be that we want to spend time, we just need to go spend time with him alone. Get out of the hustle and bustle of life and spend some time with the Creator. Jesus shows us that. Second, we have the miracle itself of Jesus walking on the water, but remember that the text says it was a storm. So it's not like Jesus is walking on this calm little lake. There's a storm. He's walking through that towards the crowd, towards the boat. The boat's being buffeted by the wind. It's being moved up different directions, and Jesus comes walking through all that towards the boat. Now, that's a big part of the story. I want to spend a few moments on the interaction between Jesus and Peter. So today, if you've ever heard this story, which I'm sure you have, if you've ever been around and heard the story preached about, I want you to just for a moment put all that you've heard and heard aside, as if it's the first time you've heard it, and look with fresh eyes and hear with fresh ears. Because so many times when this is preached, it's focused on how disappointed Jesus must have been that Peter didn't have enough faith. And I don't know that he was that disappointed. So let me share with you a little different perspective this morning. Let me begin by asking you this question. Do you know how it's possible for you to walk on water? There's only one way. Do you know what that way is? Get out of the boat. You'll never walk on water if you stay in the boat. Can't do it. You need to get out of the boat first. I know that seems kind of obvious, but truth is most of us don't want to do that. Most of us don't want to walk on water. We want to just stay in the boat. But you have to step out first. You have to take that step out of that comfort zone, out of that boat, and move in something different, to a new direction, to a new step. Because if you stay in the boat, you'll never walk on the water. I think sometimes we miss that portion of the story. We miss the idea that Peter takes this scary, no doubt, fear-filled step. So, the point that I want to make you today is this. If you want to live life walking on water with Jesus, that is experiencing the supernatural, divine life that God has for you, the only way for you to accomplish that is to get out of the boat. You get take a step away from that which seems solid. That which seems natural, trustworthy to you now. You need to take the risk and step out of this comfortable, what's known. You have to get out of your boat. And for a lot of us, as we enjoy the illusion of safety in the boat, and it is just an illusion, a little too much, we get so used to trusting and believing that what I think is here underneath me is secure. Where I think I'm in right now is all perfect. It's safe. It's normal. It's I don't want to step out. I don't want to take a risk. I don't want to get outside of this because this is comfortable. This is familiar. I know this. The truth is, church, nothing is entirely secure unless it's in Jesus. Amen. You can lose your job. Ask Rachel. You can lose your family. You can lose your car. Ask me. Your boat can sink. Remember the Titanic? Nothing as secure as what you really think it is unless it's in the Savior of the world. And here's what's intriguing to me. The disciples are like wrestling the boat, being battled about by the wind. They're just going, being tossed and about. They're wrestling with all that boat. They're having to kick against those basketfuls of leftover bread that was just in the miracle they just witnessed, and they're nervous and they're terrified. Then they see Jesus and they're like, it's a ghost. They don't understand, so Jesus comes walking and those disciples see him, and one out of 12, Peter, calls out to Jesus and says, can I come to you? Just call me and I'll come. And what he's basically saying is, I want to experience this too. I want to have what you have. I want to be where you're at. So let me experience. Let me just come. And the other 11 stayed in this, what seemed at least safe, secure boat. But truth is, I believe we have those in the body of Christ that want to stay comfortable. They're okay with the status quo. They're okay with their journey so far. We don't like risk. It's rare, if I may say so, in the kingdom of God to find people willing to take the radical step out of the boat when the waves are pounding against it. Normal Christianity to many is I go to church, I probably read the word every once in a while, I try to be a good person, and I try to do the best I can. I try to give a little money. I try to do those things that are good. But may I remind you of the scripture in John 14:12 that says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," who believes in him? Yeah, that's most of you. "Whoever believes in him," there you go, that's all. Yeah, that's like that. "Whoever believes in him, believes in me, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father." You are commissioned to do things greater than Jesus. I'm going to talk about, you know, what he does incredible. I'm going to talk about that, but I think there's greater in the sense that we have more people doing what he's doing.
That's right.
We'll see more, because we're a child of the King. But that doesn't happen if you stay in the boat. So what you really need to choose to do is wake up every morning and say, "God, you have my life. All I have is yours. Anything you want from me today, I'll do. It doesn't matter to me how radical, it doesn't matter to me how crazy, extreme it might seem. I will do what you've called me to do." That's what you need to do every morning when you wake up if you want to see a transformation in your life.
Amen.
But we don't do that, because we see that as extreme. We see that, you know, but just think for Peter. And what Jesus wanted the disciples to see was that the normal Christian life should actually look more like what we see as radical. We need to be a people who are discontent with apathy. We need to get over our complacency in the kingdom, that we really want to break out of this box. We really want to stretch our wings. Really want to take steps of faith toward a relationship with God. Something more like the X Games, which are the extreme games. You know how they just push the limits. We've got to push the limits with God, because with God is limitless.
Amen.
See, the problem is we see those people as the special ones. They're different. They're radical. The church I was raised in, you know, if we needed a healing, we called in that special one. If we needed the prophetic word, we called in the one that had the special gift.
Amen.
But truth is, church, you have gifts.
Amen.
Each one of you. I'm not saying don't bring them in. It's great to have different speakers, different people that you know, have that anointing on their life. But the point is, we don't need to have the special, because you're all special ones.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You're all grafting the vine, and you are a child of the King, and with that you have the authority that you can take over and conquer the world. We can turn our world upside down. We understand who we are in Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, the reality is that following Jesus was never meant to be boring. It was never meant to be routine. Following Jesus is absolutely a step of faith into a mission, a journey that's bigger than you and I. It can be scary, yes. We can't do it on our own, true. That's why we have to depend on Him. If we could do it on our own, guess, here's some really good theology for you. If you could do it on your own, it wouldn't be faith. Oh, by the way, it wouldn't even take any risk. I don't have to, you know, risk for me is, you know, try to put a window in my house. It's not a risk for a builder. You know, I saw pictures yesterday. My sister sent pictures on Facebook, and it talked about, you know, a realtor thought she saw it all. Then they started showing some houses with these really funky little things, and they had a door that was upside down. The windows that were in the door, that this little oval thing, was actually in the bottom of the door. It's kind of like, whoa. That's a risk for me. It's not for others. takes faith and you do stuff like that. For others, it's like no big deal. It's, see, if you can do it, it doesn't take faith. You can do it. That's why God wants to go beyond what we can do in ourselves and trust in Him. Because with Him, it's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's Him that we can do everything that we do. It's His strength that helps us process it. It's His strength that gives us. He's made perfect our weaknesses. So He understands that we just can't do it on our own. That's when faith steps in. So I want to share some realities with you. Let me call them realities for water walkers. And the first reality is simply this. You'll only walk on water, as I've mentioned already, if you step out of the boat. The first reality is that you have to step out of the boat. You'll never experience all that God has for you. You'll never experience the adventures, the mission that God wants for you, unless you step out of the boat. In other words, faith coupled with action unlocks a supernatural power in your life. Faith is required to experience a supernatural working of God. In other words, if you don't want something supernatural, if you don't want something beyond, then just coast. You can do that. Just do what you can do. Maybe you'll do okay. Maybe you won't. But there's a supernatural, beyond natural kind of life that awaits anybody that has the faith enough to step out of the boat. So faith with action is what unlocks God's supernatural work. I receive it by grace through faith. And He changes me from the inside out. I'm refreshed, I'm revived, I'm born again, I grow, I mature because of faith. The New Testament is very clear. You don't become spiritually mature by keeping more rules. You don't become spiritually mature by doing more Christian duty. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe it's vitally important to spend some time in prayer. I believe it's that way because we have not, because we ask not. I believe it's just important to read the Word. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We don't understand what He's saying to us. But the truth is, you become spiritually mature by grace through faith, and His grace is activating your life by you receiving it by faith. All of a sudden, you're co-laboring with God, and your outworking of grace starts changing your thinking, starts changing your behavior, changing the way you make decisions. Suddenly you're moved by the supernatural power and presence of Jesus in your life. So faith is what activates the supernatural. Here's the second reality. Fear is the enemy. Fear is the enemy of faith. Faith is what keeps me in the boat. Fear is what keeps me in the boat, not faith. Faith moves me out. Fear keeps me in the boat. Now, I want to be careful as I talk about this through, because I don't want to read into the text something that's not there. When the Bible says that Peter steps out of the boat, starts walking the water towards Jesus, I sort of get this picture that he takes a few steps and then begins to sink. I don't know if he plunged in the water at once. I don't know if he just went a little lower. I don't know. The Bible doesn't spell that out. I remember hearing lots of sermons that this would say how, you know, don't take your eyes off Jesus like Peter did. Well, the Bible doesn't really say that he took his eyes off Jesus. says he saw the wind. Which tells me we'll get there in a minute. I'll try to read more to that, but this is not a message about keeping your eyes on Jesus. It is ever important for us to understand, even when you think you're focused, and this is what I wanted to say a little earlier, when you think you're focused on Jesus, there's a tug of war in our soul between fear and the need for comfort. It's a tug of war for comfort and security. It's a tug of war of faith that needs adventure. And I believe Peter stepped out of that boat in spite of fear. I think he was a little frightened when he stepped out, but said, I need to do this anyway. Listen, I don't think God will ask you to do just the routine, the comfortable. Sometimes, no, probably oftentimes, He will call us to do something that is a little frightening to help us grow. To do something that's out of our comfort zone to help us grow, mature, trust in Him more. Remember hearing Robbie Dawkins tell a story. He said he was going to Moscow, and his wife asked him on his way to Moscow. He had a 12-hour layover in Moscow, and in some place before he went to Moscow. It's a 12-hour layover before something happened, whatever. And his wife said, "Please don't go anywhere, Robbie. Don't take any risk. I want you to come back home." It was a time where Moscow was kind of, you know, up in arms and all the place. And so he was on this plane meeting, and on the plane, all of a sudden, somebody. They hear the intercom that if we have any medical staff on the plane, please come to the back of the plane. We have someone that needs your assistance. And please raise hit your buzzer on the above your seat, and I'll come take care of you. And so Robbie says no one seemed to buzz. And he says, I just buzzed mine. And they came and said, you're a doctor? He says, no. He says, I just believe in praying for people, and I've seen people healed. So I was back, and this lady that was there was almost dead. She just, his eyes rolled back and everything. She prays the lady, and she just, all of a sudden, nothing happens. He prays again, nothing happens. And finally, he prays again, and all of a sudden, and she starts breathing, and she survived. So he gets there, and he's on the plane, gets back to his seat. They say, come back to your seat. We need you. We'll come back and get you again. And so he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, the guy next to him, this Russian accent, says to him, says, what'd you do to her? He says, what do you mean? He says, what'd you do, lady? He says, I prayed for her, and Jesus healed her. And he goes, no. He says, yeah, Jesus wanted an encounter with her. That's why he does that. Jesus wanted an encounter with her, so he wanted to heal her, so he had an encounter with her. What'd you do to her? Prayed for her. He gets off the plane, and the guy next to him sits off there, and they're going to the next, after the layover, he gets over, and he's on the same plane with the guy, and the guy looks up and says, come with me. He says, okay. So he's just come with them. He's like, okay, he told my wife I wouldn't take any risks, but here I am. And he's talked to this guy, and they go to the airport, and all of a sudden this guy steps out, and he gets to the VIP part of the airport. He says, come with me. He says, I can't go there. He says, I don't have my passport. I got my passport, but it's not, like, I'm not a VIP. He says, you come with me, I'll get you through. So he goes through, and the guy, sure enough, walks right through there, and he goes through and gets on the plane with him and stuff there. He says, gets on the plane. He says, what do you got to do? He says, no, nothing. My guy that's supposed to meet is like 12 hours behind because he got caught up in some weather, and he's not going to be here, so I got 12 hours to do nothing. He says, you come to my house. Okay, so they come there, and so he says, call your wife, say you have everything okay. I'm like, so, okay. So he calls, honey, I did what I wasn't supposed to do, but it's okay. And so he's like, I think. And then he goes and tells a story. So he goes up, he gets to the flat of this place in Moscow and with the guy, and it's just a gorgeous house. And the guy says to me, he says, Robbie finds this beautiful house. He says, this is my house, this is my flat. He says, I'll take you to my house. So he goes to this guy's house, and also they get there, and they got guys out there with Uzis and, guns, and he says, so what do you do for a living? Guy says, little this, little that. And Robbie's saying, I'm from Chicago. When they said little this, little that, it means mafia. I said, guy never did admit to it. His daughter comes out, and his daughter had just broken her foot. And so he looks at Rob and says, you do what you did, I'm playing with my daughter. And he's like, Father, if I ever need to show up now, is the time. And so he begins to pray, and nothing happens. He says, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it, you come with me. And they had dinner and stuff and have a thing. Finally, later on, the daughter actually was healed. And Robbie said to the guy, he says, the Lord healed your daughter. He said, why don't you have an encounter with the Lord? And Robbie says, he's not had an encounter yet. He says, would you like to turn your life over to Jesus? And he's not done that yet. But Robbie says, he still talks to the guy. Still associates with him. Still has time. It's taking a little risk. It's getting out of the boat. See, I think for a lot of us, it shows us how we really think about God and about how we perceive Papa to be. Most of us, when we read this passage, we automatically think Jesus seems really disappointed with him. He started to sink, and he reaches and says, you have little faith. And we read that, and we think it's kind of a scolding tone. Peter, come on. You grow up. Peter, when are you going to start doing really trusting me? When are you going to finally, measure up? You just blew it, your chance. You had the opportunity, you blew it again. That's how we read it, because that's how we sometimes view God. He's mad at us. He's angry with us. And so we just view it. He must be disappointed in us. And nothing is further from the truth. I don't think that's the way Jesus said it, though. I think instead what I think Jesus is probably saying is, whoa, Peter, you stepped on the boat. You've got a little faith. Now again, we look at that, we focus on little, but we've got a little faith. And we go, we must have been disappointed in lack of faith, Peter, but I think little is positive. It's like I may feel like I'm not where I want to be yet, but I've made a little progress. And so, a little step at a time, a little more step at a time, eventually I'll get to the destiny that God's called me to do. Eventually I'll get to exactly knowing exactly the purpose and everything he wants me to do, and it's just a step at a time, a little progress each step I make. And Scripture tells us that if we have the faith of as small as a mustard seed, we can tell the mountain move and it will.
Amen.
Nothing shall be impossible for us. See, we're so hard on ourselves. We are our own worst enemy much of the time.
Amen.
We look at little faith and we go, man, could have done so much better. And most of us, the problem is we live life right there. I could have done so much better. I'm not going to step out of the boat because I think I'll fail. I'm one of those guys with just little faith. But in reality, Peter had more faith than anyone on that boat in that moment. He's the one willing to step out. And I think Jesus picking him up, they're like locking arms, he's pulling him up out of the water going, Peter, you have little faith. You go, guy. You can't even, it's like saying, Peter, you can't even imagine what you're going to experience when your faith grows. You had enough faith to get out of the boat, but when it really takes hold, when it takes root, when you begin to grow in your faith, you're going to experience such great things, Peter. So let's be careful how we look at that, how we walk through that, because fear is the enemy. And church is another focus, another truth. Focus is your friend. If fear is the enemy, and what distracts us and draws us away to the threat, then focus, and particularly your focus on Jesus, is what draws you toward Him and grows you. Here's something you need to understand. When your life is focused on achieving and earning or getting into a place of stability or comfort or pleasure, when that is your focus, it's always going to lead you to a decision that is not what God called you to. If you're focused on something that's obviously evil, then that will have the tendency to destroy you. But, and hear this, church, it's important. Focusing on good things can distract you in your relationship with Jesus as well. I'm going to be a protector of my family. Not a bad focus. But in order for me to do that, I got to work 90 hours a week. Not God's will, not God's will. When I lose my family because of work, not worth it. My focus is save, 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 give, 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 do, do, do. And if that's my focus and it's not on Jesus, it's the wrong focus. Not bad to protect your family. That's what God calls us to do. But there's got to be that balance in the spiritual realm as well. There's got to be balance in that natural realm so that we can understand each other. It's not that focus in the kingdom of God. Jesus spelled it out and said, seek my kingdom first and I will take care of these other things. Fear is the enemy. Focus is your friend. You just need to step out of the boat. Here's another truth. So far it's been pretty easy. Get out of the boat. Fear is your enemy. Focus is your friend. This is relatively easy to remember. Here's one a little harder to remember because it's a little longer. And just a few words. So if you're taking notes, writing this all down, will probably help. Are you ready? You're always better off out on the water with Jesus than you are in the boat without Jesus. In other words, as Christian, I'm here to tell you personally, my testimony is that my life is different. It's better and more amazing. Not because my circumstances are always good.
That's right.
Not because there's nothing to fear in my life, but because by faith, fear doesn't hold me back. All right, at least not as much as it used to. By faith, fear doesn't keep me down. By faith, I'm able to experience things. By stepping out and going with Jesus and letting go and releasing my grip on things that are comfortable and easy to grab onto, but letting go and stepping out in faith. I'm always better off than I was back in the boat without Jesus. It's always better to be out there than it is to be in that place of what you feel is security and safety. I think it's important that you hear what I'm not saying. Maybe you're thinking this is a pretty good message, but are you saying I should not tell my kids to go for further education? Don't worry about a job, just focus on Jesus? The answer to that is no. So having a job's great. I love to eat. I enjoy that. Having jobs good, getting education is fantastic. But if that is all there is to life, if it's just, hey, you'll probably live to your 90s, and then if you're blessed, you'll go to your 100s. If that's all there is in life, that's not what He's on for. So maybe you make it to 90 and you're like still enjoying life. That's great. But there's more to life than just survival. Than just make sure you get enough money till then. Try to keep your retirement till then. Again, nothing wrong with those things that you collect and you do that for life. That's nothing wrong with that. Plan for that. That's good. But there is more. There's more to it than that. So when I step away from the security that's found in all those things. When sometimes I choose mission over money, when I choose a life of walking with Jesus over a life of doing just what I want to do, when I choose to walk with Jesus even when it costs me greatly, that is always a radically better life than staying in the boat where I thought I was safe. See, I can live right now in the illusion that I've got it all together. And then the economy changes. Relationship falls apart. Something happens to my health that I didn't predict, and I thought I had plenty of money, I thought I had plenty of time, and I had plenty of friends, and I thought I had plenty of everything, and I was comfortable. Then all of a sudden, the dynamics change. The circumstances shift. And I start running out of all those things. When all that comes, what do I have in terms of my relationship with Jesus? What do I have with that relationship? When I have lived life outside the boat, when I have stepped out in faith and journeyed with Jesus and said, you know what? Whatever you want for my life, that's what I'll do. I'll take this radical next step for you. That's always better. It's always better than staying in the boat where you think it's comfortable and you have the illusion of safety. I think what I want to learn from Peter here, and I want to learn everything from Peter. He would go on to be impulsive. I think that this was maybe a little impulsive from Peter. A good impulse, mind you, but impulsive nonetheless. I want to journey with Jesus, as we said. Let's go, move it. But the next impulse we find Peter having is 2 years later when he denies the Lord 3 times. Do I learn that from Peter? He stays a little impulsive, but you know, Jesus going to the cross, and Peter. So Peter himself feels some shakiness in his faith. It's not like he did this, step out of the boat, and then life was just, whoo, let's go for it. He had some faith issues. Now everything's just uphill, and let's go for it. Peter has some setbacks throughout his life as well. But I want to learn in this moment from Peter the ability from a place of immature faith in me, of something that needs to grow up in me, that still has a long way to go to get ready to get really close to Jesus in my life. I need to learn from that. And I want to go ahead from this day on, start to really believe God for some great things and really start to trust Him in radical ways. And I want to just become the norm in my life. I want to believe Him big. Have you even noticed that sometimes when someone first comes to the Lord, they're like on fire? They're like annoying to the rest of us. I mean, let's be real honest for a second. You know, one of those brand new believers who's all like, God, let's be on fire. Let's read our Bibles more. And we're going, just calm down. You'll understand soon this mediocre, how life, this mediocre, this life can be. No, what we need to do is tap into that enthusiasm, let it rub off, and that radical faith of someone who's just been rescued from hell and forever by a Savior who went to the cross and gave it to forgive all of us their sins and cleared them all up. I think that's why Jesus said, let me paraphrase it this way, who was forgiven much will be required much. We got to look at that kind of faith and go, I want that back. I want to go back to the day I first met Jesus and was redeemed and rescued. I want to go back to that moment when I knew my life was was doomed and how the light shined. I'm born again. I'm brand new. I want to take on the world. I want all that God has to offer. When you've been a Christian 30 years, longer, sometimes you forget what it is, I think, that way. But I want to think that way today. We need to think that way. As I close out this message, Joy, come. I want you to ask yourself this question. What is the big step Jesus wants me to take? Part two of that question is, and why do I hesitate? What's the big step Jesus wants me to take, and why do I hesitate? I am a firm believer that there's the next step always. Always. Our church talks about how we want people to encounter God, but let me ask you this. If your church experience is mediocre at best, if your life isn't different than what your non-church friends already have, if you truly aren't changed and being transformed into His image, if you have nothing more to offer them than what they already have, why would they want what you have? We need to be excited about this adventure. Listen, church, we have those things we believe. Get baptized, come and join the community of believers and be a part of the body of Christ, get into the Word, but it doesn't stop there. I'm 55 years old. Been walking with Jesus really since I was 17. But do you know what I've learned? There's always more. There's always that next step. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's always next step. So don't for a second go, all right, I can shut down, I can coast on my journey. God's always calling you out of the boat. Always. There's always more adventure out there than what you're in right now. You say to Jesus, tell me what to do, and Jesus is going to say, come closer. Then it's up for us to step on the boat to come closer. To break away from what I think is secure and what I think is normal and think is comfortable, and I need to grow, to challenge myself, to die to myself more each day. To live for Him more each day. To give up one thing that prevents me from really reach my full potential in the kingdom. There's always the next step. There's always another time to step out of the boat. Randy Clark has said this, Lord, let me be a coin in your pocket. Spend me any way you'd like. I love that. I love that. I want you to think that way. You're not too old. You're not mature enough to be done with your growth. You haven't arrived. You're on this journey, and we get to step out of the boat. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, I ask right now, I ask that your Holy Spirit would show each of us in this room what is our next step. And so if you're sitting here and listen to me pray, your next step might be meeting Jesus. Maybe your next step is declaring your faith through baptism or going to a mission trip, serving in some way, or maybe it's one of those things you can't even do through the church. Maybe it's that neighbor that needs the gospel shown to them. Maybe it's that person that you work that needs encouragement. Whatever it may be, there's always next step. But God's calling you out. He's calling us out. What is next step for you? What's next step for me? So as we continue, Jesus, I want to take the next step. I don't want to stand in one spot. I don't want to stay in the place of the illusion of comfort and security. God, I want to love you. I want to be close to you. I want to move towards you. God, I commit to the next step that you called me to. Lord, whatever it is, you show me, whether it be an apathy, complacency, a hardness of heart, bitterness, or unforgiveness. I struggle with which no one knows about, an addiction I've had for years. I give them all to you, and I take the next step towards freedom in those areas. I will get out of the boat. I will walk towards you. I will do what you've asked me to do. I'll do what you called me to do. In Jesus' name. So church, go. Get out of the boat. And if you need prayer, I invite you to come. If you need healing, I invite you to come. I know God is a healer still. Go down deep. May I sway in the breeze. Oh Lord, may I be like a tree. Father, have your way. Lord, may I be like a tree. Holy Spirit, speak to us now and show us the next step in our lives. And give us enough faith to just get out of the boat.
May I sway in the breeze. Oh Lord, may I be like a tree.
Be with your people, God. Be with your children, Father. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. And the church said,